I'm your host, Dawson, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How's it going?
Not too shabby. We're actually not talking about Warcraft this week, which is like, what?
Warcraft is dead to us. You heard it here first.
Well, that's not true. I'm still playing the crap out of it, but...
Yeah, it's definitely not true. If anyone, like, just slammed their iPod down in fury, you should probably get a new music player anyways, because who uses iPods these days? Do they even sell iPods? I don't think they do.
I think they do. Don't they have those, like, little shuffle ones that are, like, itty bitty teeny tiny?
Yeah, we're just a couple elitists with our iPhones, I suppose.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So what's going on? This has been, I was just saying before we started recording, I was like, man, it feels like it's been forever since we recorded a show, and not sarcastically at all, even though that just sounded sarcastic, but just it's been a bit. I haven't played video games. I played a lot of one video game yesterday, and before that, since we recorded, I played zero games. I was out of town.
To be fair, though, I mean, yeah, and we did record on Friday night, so I mean, it's not like we've had a whole ton of time, but yeah, I'm actually, I played something that wasn't Warcraft or Hearthstone, although I did play both of those things, but I have something new to talk about tonight, which is always really, really exciting. But first of all, because I know we talked about it last week, I want to hear about Destiny.
Right. Destiny. Okay. So Destiny launches a new expansion once a year, and we touched on it last week, and that we were going to talk about it. And Rise of Iron went live to yesterday at 5 in the morning. I did not wake up at 5 in the morning to play it. I set an alarm. It went off. I had taken the day off, but I did not want to wake up at 5 in the morning to play, because this is the thing. Usually games launch at midnight, and you play for maybe 1 or 2 hours and realize, man, it's late. I should go to bed. But Destiny decided to launch at the reset point, which is 2 a.m. on a Tuesday, but that's 2 a.m. Pacific, so it was nearly morning for me. So I opted out of those shenanigans. So I did play in the morning, though. I got up and started playing, and Caden was still asleep, so I got some Destiny in, and it's good. It's great. We're back. Destiny's back. There's stuff to do. There's story.
How long did you end up playing? Like, are you most of the way through the story, or have you just started? Like, what's going on?
So this is the thing. It seems like it's following the same pattern that The Taken King took, in that there's a upfront chunk of story quests, one after the other, about 6 of them. And it involves, like, a bunch of missions, some cutscenes, and yada, yada, yada. So the basic story is, and there's, you know, maybe slight spoilers, but nothing that you couldn't have gleaned from all the marketing, but basically there's this location that's been cornered off by the Iron Lords, and there's one left for reasons of they all died, and and that's not a spoiler, because he complains about it all the time when you see him in Destiny, so he makes
so
you well known.
So the all my friends are dead problem?
Yeah, it's a common issue with lonely people in video games. All my friends are dead. Oh, woe is me. Hey, let's do this Crucible event. It'll be fun. Let's all go shoot each other.
Come be my friend, please.
Yeah,
I promise my friend. You won't die.
I'll give you banners and cool hammers if you join my club, which I did. And that's the basic story. The basic story is the Iron Lord guy, Shenanix, or whatever hell his name is. I don't even know his name. All the names are weird in this game. I think his name's Shalix?
I feel like we have the same problem where in video games, I tend to, unless it's actually spoken out loud by, like, voice acted by a character, I tend to just read the first couple of, like, letters, and then I just skim over the rest of it, because I'm like, it's some weird fantasy name. I just know that that's a dude whose name starts with G. And then if there ends up being a whole bunch of different ones that have similar names, I had such a hard time in High Mountain, because all the names are so similar. So, yeah, I think we have the same problem where we just go, that's that sh guy.
Exactly. So, shananananana invites you to this mountain. Turns out there are mountains in Russia, and there's snow on top. So you go to the mountain, and he's like, yo, the Fallen are trying to get at my temple, but you don't know it's a temple yet. You'll figure that out eventually. and you have to basically fight off the Fallen. And then all of a sudden, oh my god, this character that you killed at the very beginning of Destiny 1 is back, but he's a robot zombie, and he's infected with the robot zombie virus. Yeah, and the robot zombie virus, I think, is called Siva, which killed all the Iron Lords. So he's upset for two reasons. They're knocking at his temple doors, and that's the thing that killed all his friends. So he's doubly pissed. And I know I'm being reductive, but seriously, this is what happened. And you know, you enjoy it. You run around, you're shooting things. You're being introduced to a new, not new faction, but a new set of enemies based on old models. So that's the biggest issue with this expansion, because it's very similar to the Taken King, where they've taken old enemies that you've probably experienced by playing vanilla Destiny, which are the Fallen, and they've reskinned them with the robot zombie virus, which is very similar to the Taken King, where they took old enemies, one from each race, and reskinned them in the Taken virus. They basically made them all like ghosts, and they shoot like ghost stuff at you.
Okay.
So in this one...
Yeah, I haven't gotten very far into Destiny in any iteration. I mm-hmm. played a little bit of the, I guess, vanilla version, and then I played a little bit of Taken King, but I have not explored Destiny as a whole at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. The game is still a lot of fun. The mechanics are fun as well. Like, just shooting, like, unloading your bullets into enemies and watching them, you know, dissipate in fantastic manner. It's still exciting. And the story quests that they give you, the initial six, basically go from 0 to 1. They're very binary. Like, you do the quest and you complete that chain, and it's like, where I am right now, it's like, yeah, you did it. You saved everybody. You get to be an Iron Lord. And I'm like, sweet, let's do this. So now you're an Iron Lord, and it's like, it feels like the main, like, problem has been solved, because you've basically eliminated
after six quests.
Now that's what's happening right now, but it feels very similar to the Taken King, and that was a similar manner where you finished six quests and then you kind of like, all right, you took care of Oryx, his shade is gone. You might have to go do like a raid to like really finish him off, but as far as we're concerned, you're done. And when you finish that initial segment of quests, which took a couple hours, it opens up with all the same world quests that came out with Taken King. Like, okay, now we need you to clean up the people behind it. So someone like unleashed the virus, so go take care of them. But then there's also going to be a quest about like, yeah, the floodgates were open for a bit, so the zombie robot virus has kind of escaped and infected other worlds. You need to go take care of that, which I really appreciate, right? Because if the floodgates opened on a virus and it started infecting the world around you, it would spread pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it shouldn't just be gone because you finished a quest. Yeah,
exactly. So I appreciate that. And again, like, the mechanics are a lot of fun. The story is somewhat is interesting in that world, and I'm looking forward to playing more. My concern is that they haven't added a whole lot to the game. Like, there's no new subclass, so there's no like new powers for your characters, which is kind of the point of Destiny in my mind.
Okay.
Like, the guns are cool, but being able to like shoot stuff from your arms and like do cool purple stuff and like wield your giant hammer, like that's the powers that you mm-hmm. want to see, and they didn't add any new powers to your class. The only power they added is that actually you do get to wield like a giant fire hammer, which is a special pickup. And then you actually, when you complete that first initial segment of quests, you get a cool sword, and that sword shoots fire once you've leveled it up enough, which is pretty sweet. No new class quests, no new class powers, which is kind of frustrating. Also, only like two new zones. So there's a mountain now, and so far the only quests you do on that are the initial quests plus the new social area, and then a sort of reskinned old Russia area that's kind of been expanded a little bit with what's called the plague lands. But it kind of just looks like, again, the robot virus has sort of infected more of the same like dilapidated old Russia warehouse type areas, so it doesn't feel like a new area. Whereas in Taken King they added like Phobos.
I was going to say, how many areas were there in Taken King?
They added a whole new, what I would call planet. It wasn't a planet, but it was a whole new like area on the world map. Like, you could go to, I think it was the Taken King ship. I can't even remember what it was called, the Cosmodrome or something. And that was a whole big new area with new environments. Mm. In this, it feels like they've kind of added a sprinkling of new content. but a lot of reskin stuff. Like, there's no new enemies. It's just old models that have had a lot of work done to them, but you can clearly tell, like, you just made it look like he has a robot virus. You know, he's got more red coming out of him, as opposed to all new aliens, which is what you want to see in a space sci-fi shooter, right? You want more now, aliens.
They're working on a new Destiny, right? Like, Destiny 2 is coming?
Yeah, so that's...
So does this feel very much like just trying to bridge the gap between the two, like just to keep fans interested in the franchise while they come out with the second one?
I mean, that's certainly like something people could jump to. And honestly, I'm one day in. The game's only been out for a bit. I haven't actually read much of the reception to the expansion. I'm enjoying what I'm playing, but it does feel light in terms of the typical content you'd expect from... We're adding a whole new, an expansion. And I think that Taken King was so well received was because it was a huge improvement on the content they had added to the game in the last year. And I think a lot of people were very happy about that. This feels like an extension of that, like just more of the slightly different as opposed to...
I was going to say, more of the same. And it kind of makes sense because Taken King was so well received that they would want to try to recreate that feeling. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can only be derivative so many times before people start going, hang on.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if all the kind of creative power behind making new alien enemies has just gone into the new game. And they're like, yeah, look, all of our new cool stuff is still coming. We know you wanted something to do. We know you wanted more story, and we had more story to tell. So here are reskinned enemies. Look past that, because here's the really cool story bits that we want to show you in this universe.
I mean, that's a very great way of putting it, because there is more story here. And the story is pretty interesting because it's telling the backstory of a faction of characters that's well-known, deep in the lore. There are now wolves in the game that look very cool, and they just kind of like prowl around, and they're part of the faction that are the Iron Lords, and you get to join that faction. You get to become an Iron Lord, which is kind of fantastic in the sense that this once lone Iron Lord is now like recruiting a bunch of Guardians to join his cause. And that's really interesting. And again, I have not beaten it. I have not gotten to the end of the Rise of Iron content. There's still more to be done, but this is just first impressions, and I want people who are listening, which I know there are a lot of Destiny fans out there that listen to the show, I want to know how you're doing.
There's actually quite a few people that we know listen to the show and who are often in the chat room that play Destiny. It'd be good to know what they're... Because I know the other thing is, too, we have a lot of people who play who are at a higher level. I think you and I very much, since we have to play so many different games to cover for the podcast, we get a very... not necessarily simplistic view, but we don't dive deep on many things.
Right.
Just because of, you know, time restrictions and in order to provide you guys some variety. So, I mean, there's no way that we are going to be super crazy, ridiculous, like Raiders and Destiny, and then super amazing Raiders and PvP and Warcraft. And then, you know, like we just don't dive to that, that kind of level. So it'd be really interesting to hear from some of the gamers and fans who do take Destiny that seriously and who do go that deep, what they're thinking of the new content. Because for players like them, new questing and new story is always phenomenal. Like they like that extra content, but that's not the reason they play the game. So I'm wondering if there's, you know, where you and I are very story driven and we would be happy just with a new set of quests and some new story. I'd be interested to see what they think about new mechanics and new raids and things like that. Some of that end game, some of that more difficult content. So yeah, I know, there's a couple. I'm thinking, I think Ventigo, and then who is it that you played with the other week?
Rick
who ran you through some content. So if either of you guys want to write in, or anyone else that we don't know of, then we'd love to hear from you about your impressions of
Impressions of Destinies. I like that. That's the name of the show, Impressions of Destinies. I want to hear more because honestly, I haven't experienced all there is of the campaign, and I know there's more quests I need to do. There's another zone that feels very similar to the Court of Oryx. I think it's called the Forge of Archon or something. I haven't come across that, which is repeatable content that's very easy to just jump in, do, and repeat. There's obviously the new raid that's coming. I think just went live today. strikes that I haven't done. There's a new PvP mode that I haven't done. I don't know.
A big PvP-er in general, though, right?
No, I'm not. And that's the thing. For me, with these types of games, and I think the reason I was so bummed about original Destiny was because I am a story-driven gamer, and when these types of games coming out, I know the content I want is a small sliver of what the majority of people who continue playing want. So I acknowledge that. That's fine. But I'm interested in Destiny 2. I'm hoping that when they show it off, it'll be like, no, there's more than three factions. There's more story. We're actually going to pick up on story beats that we left behind. Like, there's stuff in Destiny Vanilla and even Taken King and the expansions, for that matter, that has just sort of languished and not been addressed, which clearly should be addressed because the world is still in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. Things keep happening to this world that are bad. Therefore, we should probably look at wrapping up old issues and say, where did that mysterious lady time travel go? She's been gone for like two expansions. And, you know, that weird girl with no eyes said something weird at the end of the original Taken King. What's up with that? She's still around. Clearly she's not evil. It's little things like that that I appreciate in games when they at least either acknowledge the fact that something's going to be addressed or just address it. And maybe in Destiny 2 they'll do it, but I know the games had some story issues with writing and whatnot, so we'll see if maybe they just like, nah, that actually didn't happen. Like, here's the real Destiny.
Mm-hmm. You need them to like tie up all the loose ends and stuff before they move into 2.
It's hard to care about things when you don't feel confident that they're going to address it, right? Mm. So I'm hoping that they do. I'm looking forward to playing more, especially with some of our listeners, but yeah, first impressions, it's a solid expansion for a game that was already pretty good at shooting things. So if you have $40 to drop and you enjoyed Destiny, you kind of have to buy this because you're not going to get more Destiny for a while. So mm-hmm. might as well jump in.
I see. So the thing that I have been playing this week, because mm-hmm. I'm not a Destiny player, and I don't think that that's anything that I'm really going to get into. But mm-hmm. The thing I did get into this week is called Event Zero, and it just came out a week ago. It's an indie title. I found it on Steam. It was in my Steam suggestion queue.
Interesting.
And it is interesting. It's different. It's like the whole premise is it's this like alternate history of the world where we put a lot more resources into space travel. So basically, like, we landed on the moon and then kept going. Oh. And to the point that all of the countries in the world ceased to exist, and it just became like a united Earth because everyone on Earth wanted to do space travel. So they had things, and the place that you end up is this like luxury, kind of like a luxury cruise ship, except it's a spaceship and it's from the 80s. So it's like this really weird kind of like cultural flashbacky kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But basically what happens is you join the space program and you're shot up into space. Your spaceship basically explodes and you're the only survivor in an escape pod. And then your escape pod, after a certain amount of time passes, your escape pod gets picked up by an AI on this now empty and deserted cruise ship, spaceship.
Right.
And so basically what you're trying to do is talk to and befriend this AI to get her to take you back to Earth. It's pretty cool.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten too far, but I've gotten through the first like three rooms, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat because like you have to go up to this computer terminal and you can literally type anything. And I was typing in full sentences, and I think that was a mistake because I was getting some really confusing, I think the way the game is built is that it picks keywords out of your sentence, and that's the keyword, and it gives a certain response based on the keyword. So I think there were some times where I had multiple keywords in a sentence. Like, I would say something along the lines of, like, oh, should I put on a suit to walk through the corridor? And then so, like, suit and corridor were both keywords, and then so the answer I got to the question didn't really make any sense. Right. So then I started putting in, you know, one or two words at a time, and that started unlocking things a lot faster. Mm-hmm. But at one point, I actually had the computer tell me that I was annoying her. Like, you're really annoying to me right now. And I feel like it's got some pacing to it as well, because I got stuck and I was like, I really don't know what this computer wants me to do, because the computer has to open all the doors for you to different parts of the ship. And obviously there it's this weird kind of like, where the heck is everybody? Because there's things like dirty dishes next to a chair, and there's like the bedroom that I made it into, like the clothes are all over the place. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's got this hastily abandoned feel to it. So, and I mean, it's creepy. It's super creepy because obviously, like, you are in space, you have no way home. It's just you and this AI. The AI controls everything about everything. So there was a point where I kind of like, the doors opened and I went to go through the door, and then the door shut really fast, and then I got locked in this one room and I was like, oh my god. And so there are a little bit of jumpy things, but it's only because it does a really good job. It's a first person perspective. Right. So it does a really good job of immersing you in that lost in space kind of feel. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. I only got about an hour and a half or 2 hours of playtime because I only just discovered it shortly before the show. But I'm going to go back to it because it's a nice change of pace. Mm-hmm. There was the puzzles that you have to try to solve, because there's different. I found a program that I can run on the AI. So by running the program, it started a different puzzle, and I had to find something that was hidden in like 30 different images, and I had to find just the right images, and a different image popped up depending on which key I hit on the keyboard. So it was really interesting to have that level of puzzle in what I thought was just a text-based game.
Right.
And you can actually walk around, because there's terminals next to each door and stuff like that. So you do some exploration. It's not just standing in front of one computer. But it's a really interesting concept, and I'm enjoying it quite a lot. I recommend it to, I mean, obviously, it's puzzles and it's exploration. There's no combat or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's very simple controls. You literally click, you know, left mouse button to move forward, right mouse button to move backwards, and other than that, it's just your keyboard at the terminals. So it's super simplistic, but it's interesting to try to like get information out of an AI that doesn't really want to talk to you, but at the same time, like, saved your life essentially, because you would have run out of air and food on your escape pod. So mm-hmm. It's more complicated and intricate, I think, than I expected it to be off the start.
So it's like, so the way they describe it on the Steam page, they say it's a lonely AI, right? So is this yes. basically a dating sim? Is that what this is?
Not at all.
Think about it. Like, you're trying
unless
to convince.
I'm playing it wrong.
Well, maybe this is the best advice I can give you in terms of trying to. You know, it says you build a relationship with a lonely spaceship computer to get home to Earth. Now, honestly, I don't know about the end game of forming a relationship with the robot just so you can leave them behind. But maybe you can just take them to Earth and they'll be happy with that.
Well, and see, so I read this as well, obviously, mm-hmm. because yeah. I found it in my queue. So I had read that as well. And so I tried like talking to it and like asking it things about itself and stuff like that. And it shuts you right down. Like, it just. So then I was like, okay, well, maybe I should talk to it about Earth. And then it starts telling you, like, really generic statements, like, I'm sure the Earth is right where you left it. And, like, so...
Oh,
yeah.
Snap. You so, just got, like, totally trashed by an AI.
Yeah, exactly. And she mentions something about, you know, like, there's a company name and a scientist name that she drops. And if you ask more about that, then she's like, I don't know you. Why would I tell you all of this person's secrets? And so,
man, this
you
sounds
know, like,
right up my alley. Like,
as soon as I got in there and started playing, I was like, Ryan would love this.
At first, I thought it was like a programming error that you put in the doc. Like, man, Google Sheets is really messed up. But honestly, it sounds like the game. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, basically, like, you know, talking about video games and how we consume them and where we are at now in terms of as gamers with having busy lifestyles. And it's like, the big large game is fine, but you can't have too many of them, or else you just never get to experience them. So these smaller, very different games are what I crave between large releases. Like,
Well, and this is the thing. This is kind of the reason that I went back to Hearthstone a mm-hmm. little bit last night, and I played a few hours of that, and I think I'm a little bit burnt out on Legion. Not because the content is bad or anything like that, just because I've been playing so much of it. It's been out for, you know, 3 weeks now, and I've got to the point where things are getting repetitive on my main, but I don't necessarily want to go and level my alts because I just don't feel like going through that leveling process again so soon. And so I feel like there was a little bit of fatigue, and it's just with that, there's so much to do that I can't narrow down what it is that I want to do in mm-hmm. Warcraft right now. So this was like a breath of fresh air for me because it was, you know, different, but not too complicated. I didn't have to learn a whole bunch of new shit. I could just sit down and be like, hey, this is something I can play and experience, and I have to use my brain. Like I mentioned, there's puzzles, and you have to put together the pieces of this bigger story as well as the kind of smaller puzzles to open the doors. But, you know, like, it's something that is challenging but not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much, like, how long it's supposed to take me to play or how much content is in this game. But one way or another, I mean, I've seen the trailer, and there's things in the trailer that I can't imagine happening anytime soon. So I feel like this is a significant entry into my gaming life. Like, this isn't okay. a 1 or 2 hour Telltale thing. This is going to be a little bit more substantial than that, or something like Firewatch, or, you know, those really small experiences.
Right.
But it was only, I think it was like $20.
Yeah.
So
That's a good price.
It's an indie title. So it's a good price for what I've experienced so far, and I'm having a really great time, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
I'll check it out, because you know, if you're gonna play it through, then I'll definitely go through it as well.
It'd be interesting to talk to you. And I do feel like it's pretty guided. Like, it's not an open exploration really by any means. It's mm-hmm. like, you can only open, like, I opened, I think, door number 4, and then you open door number 4. Like, it's progressive. It's not like you can open anything in any order. So I'm sure that there's going to be an overarching story that you and I can discuss. So that would be really cool. But yeah, I think the experience is still going to be the same.
All right. Yeah, no, that sounds interesting. Honestly, it's like, when you think about the games that we've been playing over the last couple of months, it's like, okay, a new Destiny expansion, it's still Destiny. A new WoW expansion, it's still WoW. More Heroes and Heroes, it's still Heroes. More Hearthstone cards, it's sometimes still Hearthstone.
Well, it's still Hearthstone, yeah.
It's still the
same base game. Yeah.
Exactly.
We've been covering a lot of expansions, you're right.
Yeah, so it's nice when something new, and honestly, when you asked me today, is like, any recommendations, I'm like, yeah, it feels like so many indie games have been coming across, you know, my inbox and Twitter and whatnot, but nothing's really like sort of like, you know, like the classic flyer hits your face and doesn't want to leave it till you like pull it off your face. Nothing's really like the one I had recommended, Seasons After Fall, keeps popping up, but it's another like 2D platformer. Not that that's a bad thing, but we've played a lot of those. And this sounds a lot like Legends of Grimrock, I think, or something, where you...
Okay, I was going to say, when I first started doing it, mm-hmm. it reminded me a little bit, although not that extreme, but of Pony Island.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so where, again, you're interacting with the terminal and you're trying to solve different puzzles, do different things. It's similar to that, but there's more outside the game. Like, Pony Island was a unique experience, we'll say. And it's not like that to that extent. But that was what it reminded me of, where you're interacting with a computer and trying to find the kind of different paths to take through that program.
I just like the idea of, you know, trying like the dick playthrough of Event Zero, where you're just a complete and utter ass to this computer to like just... Maybe the computer will either A, send me to the airlock and flush me, or just take me back to Earth and be like, just get off my ship, man. Like, you're just going to be a terrible person.
It's really funny because at the point when I did get stuck, it was like Matt walked by and he's like, why don't you just say, take me to Earth, bitch, and see what happens?
And did that work?
No, it didn't work.
Oh, well, at least we've tried that. So everybody looking to play Event Zero, don't insult the computer.
Yeah, that's not actually going to help.
It's just like Siri, where if you try to insult Siri, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm only as smart as you trained me to be, or something like that. Like, oh, snap. Like that gif where the guy just walks through like, oh, and everyone's like, oh. Yeah. That's the reaction that the computer would have if it wasn't in the 80s and just text-based. Could you imagine if that computer was like a now computer? It would just talk in GIFs and like Rickroll you every time you tried to make fun of it.
Would be pretty amazing.
It would be. Honestly, I'd play that game. They should make Event 1 and it's just the same story, but a computer set in a different era. So you start to get like Windows 3.1 and Mac and then you progress to Windows 10 and it's just like YouTube videos yelling at you. It'd be pretty good.
All right, so I'm really interested to see your thoughts on this next title, which you just put in right before the show, so yeah. I don't even have it on the overlay. But Habitica is something that we have talked about on Slaying Demons as a kind of organize your life quest-based to-do list. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had a chance to try it yet, as I talked about on the show last night. I have such a big to-do list that I haven't actually nailed down everything, so I find it difficult to start one of these things because basically you have to enter in your to-do list, right? You have to basically build your to-do list to start the game.
Yeah,
so, and so I haven't actually done that yet.
Habitica is interesting. I have a app that I use for task capturing, which is called OmniFocus, mainly because it supports sort of my Apple ecosystems. Yes, send your emails in. That's me. I just own a lot of Apple devices and I'm like, that's what I use. It syncs across devices. It's perfect. And it's more for like the larger projects like Extra Life or websites or work or podcasts, what have you. But Habitica has been one thing I haven't been able to capture in those bigger apps is the day-to-day habits, like the stuff you want to get better at, like either exercising or healthy eating, day-to-day stuff like keeping on top of your email. Like that's a big one for me. If I leave it...
Doing your laundry.
Doing your laundry, going for a run, making sure you drink more water. It supports all of these different things. And honestly, when you start up the app, and I would actually recommend if you haven't... I would recommend having two systems, one for your larger projects that actually require due dates, like hard, fast due dates, and Habitica for sort of like these habits that you wanna form. And there's three different sections. There's habits, there's dailies, and then there's to-dos. The to-dos would be where you put all your projects, but I find that in comparison to other apps, it doesn't really... It would get really busy if you have multiple projects. And Jocelyn, I know for a fact that you have multiple podcasts and multiple projects and multiple things that you're working on all at once. So I
and that usually have to get broken down. So yes. I can't even say like, okay, this week I have to do, well, I'll use Slaying Demons as an example. Sure. So I have to do Slaying Demons, which involves creating the notes and then doing the stream and then editing and then posting. Like there's multiple things to do underneath that larger project.
Yeah, and it's repeatable, right? So you have to post it to the iTunes feed so Ryan can listen to it at work. Like that's exactly. Kind of the thing. You should write that in the notes because it's very important. So I honestly wouldn't recommend Habitica for that. There are other apps out there that just are more, I hate to say professional, but just a little more suited to that type of stuff. So on Windows, I've heard I've used Wunderlist. If it's still around, it works really well. Mac has a bunch of them, things, OmniFocus. But in terms of web and Windows, I know Wunderlist has worked well and it had a web app. I think it still exists. I think they like canned a bunch of their other apps to focus on Wunderlist. So I think it still exists.
You mentioned having the web-based thing, and that's what I feel like I need out of some sort of an app is something that's web-based that I can have with me when I'm actually working on the computer, and then something that has a tie-in app on my phone so I can have it when I'm on the go, because I often need that crossover, and I don't usually have my phone with me when I'm sitting at my desk. So Habitica is good. So I feel like... It's an app recommendation, but we should probably talk about how it's a game too, right?
Yeah,
it's gamers in. So do you want to like kind of expand a little bit on the gamification basically of your habits?
So I don't know. Like I have a bunch of stuff entered into the app. So I'm not at the point where I'm happy showing off like what Ryan thinks he needs to do right now. But you have a character and you can outfit them with equipment and sort of expand on their look and feel. From what I understand, it doesn't actually add to the game gamification yet, but you have a health bar and you have an experience bar, and you can earn gold. So the health bar decreases when you fail to meet your dailies or your habits start to decline. So habits have the ability to just increase or just decrease or increase and decrease. So a good example would be, I want to eat healthier. Pretty standard habit you want to form. Pretty much everyone in the world wants to do that. So you would have eat healthy or junk food, and it would be a plus or minus. So when you feel that you've done something healthy, like instead of having a bag of chips, I had a banana for a snack. Boom, that's a positive. You add it, you gain experience and gold for having achieved that banana.
So can you only do, like, do you have a limit on certain habits, like the number of habits you can have in the app or the number of times a day that you can say pot? Because I mean, otherwise, if you gain experience and gold, what is there to stop me from just sitting there and going, I totally ate healthy, like pressing it 100 times in order to get like all of the gold and just win?
Just like anything, it requires willpower. So you kind of have to, you kind of just have to do it, and there's no limit. But you kind of have to set your own boundaries. So when we talk about eating healthy / eating junk food, you don't like nail yourself every time you don't have a salad for a meal. Like, that's not kind of the point. But when you do go out of your way to eat healthy, then you reward yourself with a plus. But if you eat like, I don't know, like, and you wouldn't, you know, diss yourself every time maybe you have a granola bar as a snack. But if you go and have, I don't know, like a slice of cake or a muffin that, you know, muffins are just cakes, people. Yeah, without icing.
Stop it, Ryan. You are killing me.
So say you have a muffin.
I love my muffin with my morning coffee.
I do too.
I'm fat.
And honestly, like, muffins are killer. I remember when I was in college.
They're so bad.
They're literally cakes. I told one person, like, I gave up coffee for a summer because I kept going to the cafe and getting a, like, just a shitty miniature cake with my coffee. So I just gave up coffee so I wouldn't be tempted to go get a muffin. So yeah, it requires willpower, and honestly, like, you just have to, it's just like any other habit building. Don't punish yourself. Just, you know, be honest with yourself. So, and I, as far as I know, I haven't lost a level. So if you lose all your health, you lose a level, you lose gold, and you start back up. I think you might lose a random piece of equipment as well, but equipment appears to be strictly cosmetic at this point. I don't know if you can see it, but
yeah, I know. There we go.
So I have a Viking helmet and a little golden panda. And as people can see, my habits are drink healthy or junk beverages, eat healthy / junk food, 30 minute of cardio, and process email. And those are my habits. I've been terrible at, as you can probably see, I've been failing. There's a lot of orange and yellow in there. And that basically impacts your experience. You gain levels. There's a social aspect to it as well, which I have not delved in. I'm kind of waiting for everything, you know, someone to form a guild and I'll join it, and we'll go the social route as well. But dailies are sort of things you want to do every day, whether it's I have like, you know, another health related thing, process workout apps, and work on something creative. Just very simple, something to do, something you want to do every day. And when you actually boot up the app, it says, okay, what do you want to use Habitica for? And it'll give you a bunch of categories, whether it's, you know, get healthy, start exercising, do better at work, be more creative. And it'll sort of populate your lists, habits, to-dos, and dailies with some sample quests that you want to do. And you can edit those as you see fit. And it's just really flexible. And I haven't tried the web app yet, but there is a web app, which would be handy for people who don't have their phone attached to their hip like I do.
So is there anything that you actually get to do with your character? Like, is there a game there to play, or is it just basically using quests and gold rewards and stuff to incentivize your everyday life?
So you can collect pets, from what I understand. You collect eggs by completing quests. There is a guild system, a party system, and a tavern, which you can pick up quests. Let's see here, shop. And then there's like a quest section But like the first, so let's look at this quest. It's 200 gold. I haven't saved up to it. So it's 200 gold to go on a quest. It says, a message in a bottle arrived from the newly rebuilt city of Dilatory.
Oh, okay. So you do your daily things to earn your gold so that you can go and play the story of Habitica.
Yeah, and it says, to make the long journey to the sunken city, one must be able to breathe water, fortunately, blah, blah, blah. Make it possible. You only have to find the proper ingredients. So you're going to save...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, princess has disappeared, and you're going on a quest. There's news that the app... While I haven't had any issues with the app, there's news that the app is being refreshed to be less of just a web portal and more of a native app, unless that's old news. I don't know, but... I don't know. Works fine for me. It's been a nice sort of like way to compartmentalize the more project professional based stuff that I do and just the daily habits, because that those habits were actually clogging OmniFocus or Wunderlist or whatever you end up using in a way that you would maybe find the time and energy to check the app to do your workouts or be more healthy, but you wouldn't actually do your projects.
Yeah.
So I would recommend for you, check out Wunderlist. It's actually, it is still a thing, and it's available on every single platform, including web and iOS. And it's free to use as a solo, and I think there are some team options as well if you get to that point. But honestly, in terms of just a solo app, both Habitica and Wunderlist would probably pair well. And someone in the Demon Slaying Discord had actually sent me like a script that would allow me to port the completion of tasks in OmniFocus over to Habitica. So it sounds like Habitica is very open to that sort of thing, and I'm sure there's a plugin for Wunderlist as well to sort of allow you to get the golden experience for completing to-dos in your other apps. So look into that.
Awesome. I wanted to remind everyone that if you are looking for some sweet, sweet A-Move swag, including stuff from Gamers Inn, you can go to etched.amove.tv or shirts.amove.tv to check out all of your favorite A-Move stuff. So make sure you guys all go get your A-Move swag. We just have some odds and ends this week. Nothing really crazy going on news-wise. Apparently, their Blizzard is dropping the Battle.net name. They're just going to call it Blizzard whatever. So Blizzard Voice, Blizzard, I don't know what another example would be, but Blizzard Social maybe.
Blizzard Streaming.
Streaming.
What do they call the launcher now? Is it just Blizzard? Blizzard?
Probably the Blizzard launcher. Basically, they came up with this Battle.net name and brand in order to make their technology stand out a little bit more, and now they're finding it's just really clunky. So basically they're just getting rid of the name. So you're still gonna have your launcher, you're still gonna have all the things that you had with Battle.net. They're just getting rid of the name. No real big deal. Doesn't impact us at all.
No, it's just name and only, everything will continue to exist. It's just a don't be alarmed when you don't see Battle.net anymore. And honestly, typing Battle.net in any, and I saw this today in Twitter or any social media network, like changes that URL into a short URL, which I think extends the amount of characters it uses.
Yes.
So it's just terrible, you know. Yeah. Like the short URL has won. Battle.net, goodbye.
Also, it looks like the Pokemon Company is going to be making games for the Nintendo NX. Ryan, I actually couldn't read this article because I'm not subscribed to the Wall Street Journal, so I don't know anything beyond the title, basically. It wouldn't let me read it, so.
Yeah. Huh. I could have sworn I read it, but it's giving me the same error. But essentially, the interesting part of this is we don't know anything about the NX. And the rumor is, strongly hinted at rumor, is that the NX will be a hybrid home and portable console. The interesting thing about the Pokemon Company kind of saying, yeah, we're going to make games for this, is that Pokemon games have been primarily for the handheld systems. So when the Pokemon Company says, yeah, we're going to be developing games for this, that's kind of like an interesting point in that now Pokemon Company says, like, okay, we're going to make games for the NX, which has been sort of positioned as the replacement of the Wii U. And I don't think the Pokemon Company has made anything worth noting on the Wii U. And I could be missing some, like, but they're all spin-offs. So there's nothing in the main Pokemon line that has been on the Wii U. So the fact that this is news because, I mean, if they're getting rid of the 3DS, it means that they need to build Pokemon games somewhere. So this could finally be the first mainline Pokemon game on the NX. Guildhall podcast in the chat room is actually saying that they're launching with a Pokemon game, which is probably just a rumor at this point, because we don't actually know what they're launching with. Besides, we don't even know they're launching with Breath of the Wild. Like, nothing's been announced. But it's interesting, because the last sort of like Pokemon-esque sort of mainline game they had on the consoles was on the GameCube, and it was kind of crappy.
I was going to say, the one that I remember was on the 64, Pokemon Stadium, I think. Yeah, that's the one that I remember as my console Pokemon title, and it was kind of meh.
Yeah, and they had one on GameCube, which was like Pokemon Coliseum, but it had like a story mode that was kind of like Pokemon Light, but it was still the ability to walk around and explore the world of Pokemon, but in a 3D landscape. So it's interesting to see them kind of saying like, no, we're going to do this. It's going to happen. This is good news for the NX. Good news for like investors are kind of like, well, Pokemon's huge now, right? And in the article, they also talk a little bit about how Pokemon Go has helped Pokemon as a franchise sort of get in other people's hands. So, man, just tell That's us true. What the I hell mean, the NX is.
Yeah, the popularity of Pokemon really exploded this summer. It's so funny. Because, I mean, I remember watching Pokemon, but never really played a lot of the Pokemon games. So, for me, Pokemon Go was very much like, I just wanted to be Ash. So, I mean, you know, that experience, it's funny that everyone kind of related to Pokemon Go in a different way. And you're right, it did open it up to a whole bunch of different people in different markets. And, you know, young and old, everyone just seemed to really gravitate towards Pokemon. So, I think that they would be silly not to try to push Pokemon. Nintendo would be silly not to try to kind of jump on that bandwagon and push the Pokemon company to do something for their platform. I don't really know how I feel about a hybrid. Like, again, because anytime we start talking about Nintendo, I start thinking about just gimmicks. Like, every new platform that they come out with has some sort of gimmick, and they push boundaries, but at the same time they go all in on a concept, and that can sometimes ruin the games for me. I feel like it could be bad, but I hope it's not, and I hope it's not a like $400 to $500 portable console thing. Like, I hope I don't have to pay a whole ton of extra money because they've included a gimmick, if that makes sense. Like, I'd rather just a straight up Nintendo console. But again, I'm one of those, I don't know if I'm a rare gamer or what, but I like to just sit and push buttons. I don't need gimmicks. So the more stuff you try to get me to do, the more I'm just like, damn it, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. A, B, X, Y, done.
I hope they've learned their lesson with the Wii U. And honestly, the NX could be something that has that gimmick, but the gimmick could be in service of gamers as opposed to in service of tablets are big. Let's have a tablet controller. Well,
and that's what I'm kind of picturing in my head whenever someone talks about how the NX could potentially be like a portable thing. I'm like, what are they going to do? Just not have the console box that sits on next to my TV? All I'm going to have is this controller tablet thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not want that, Nintendo.
So, judging by the rumors and sort of the patents and all that fun stuff, and kind of like it just keeps being confirmed, so it's pretty likely that it'll be a cradle near your TV. You'll have the screen, which is the guts of the console that you take with you, and then these little things that snap onto the screen that are the controller. So it operates like the gamepad, but hopefully a little more comfortable when you're portable. So when you're on the train and want to play Breath of the Wild with your NX, you can do that. But then when you get home, you take the controller portions off of the screen, plug the brain into the cradle, so it's on the TV, and then you take the controller shells and plug them into the controller unit, which is probably basically just the wireless receiver, and it turns those the sides of the screen into your controller. So it's a standard controller, maybe has some like touchpad doohickey like every other controller that's come out, well, except for the Xbox. But
I was just saying, not the Xbox.
Not the Xbox.
Still my favorite controller.
Yeah, it's a pretty badass controller. And honestly, like, I can see them doing the touchpad button in the middle to kind of give you some touch and movement and stuff, but nothing, I don't think you're going to see the gamepad. I think they're leaving that concept behind. Like, the screen is the guts of the console, so if you want to play it on the TV, you plug the brain into the TV and it stops being a tablet. Now, mind you, we don't know when they're going to tell us. They're now saying October, but they were saying September and August, so I honestly don't know what to think. Are they waiting until the very last minute? Are they waiting until all the trade shows are done and then having their own, but before the November busy schedule? Like, I think October is the right month to do it. Mm-hmm. Just got to do it, because we are craving for news, as you can't tell. It's been a couple of weeks of pretty dry news.
Yes, I really like something more to talk about than Blizzard is changing the name of their launcher.
This is the two biggest stories I could find, and the Pokemon company making games for NX is a stretch. And that's saying something when we had a story previous to this, which was a name change.
Yep. So with that in mind, I just want to remind everybody that our patron hangout is tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are going to be recording on twitch.tv/JossPlays. So make sure, if you are a patron of The Gamers Inn, go to patreon.com/TheGamersInn and make sure you have all the Discord information, because that is where we are going to be pulling you from. So if you want to talk to us, and we do encourage that you do, make sure that you are ready and waiting in the patron voice chat, and then we will grab you to come on live on the show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. Also, we have our new Patreon reward levels. They have been posted. Ryan finally did it. I'm just as shocked as you guys. So, Ryan, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we have two new levels for those either subscribing at a level above $2 an episode, or those that are looking to support us at a level and get some cool perks. So the first up is the $7 reward, which will allow you to fill our ad spot with your lovely projects that you want to plug. It sounded really weird. Also, there's a $20 reward level, which will allow you to basically recommend games. Not recommend, but request. Basically, we will take them very, very seriously as long as we have the platform we can play them on. So at the $20 level per week, if there's a game that you want us to cover that you're really interested in and want to hear us talk about it, that's your avenue. So get on it.
So yeah, and I don't think we've actually changed any of our milestone goals. Those are still the same, but maybe we should just remind people. We have milestone goals for Game Night and Inside the Game, which is a monthly show that Ryan and I want to put together.
Sure.
Basically covering the story of a single player title, whatever that happens to be in any given month. And we also have Quickfire News, which basically would be a weekly, really, really short news show.
A really hard show to produce in September is basically what we've addressed.
So if you want to check out all the details about all of those milestone goals and the new patron reward levels, then go to patreon.com/thegamersinn. We got some listener feedback this week from Mo Evil on Twitter, who says, while waiting for Skyrim to update, I installed the Enderial mod.
Yeah, that's as good as I was going to do.
Okay.
Enderal. Which sounds like a weird medical term.
It does. And he says, wow, what an awesome conversion. Have you played it? So this, I guess, is a Skyrim mod. I think, is this the one that people were talking about when Skyrim first came out? Because I know that there was a mod that you could install that basically, like, up-resed a whole bunch of stuff.
I don't know. I'm looking at this, like, this, the moddb.com article, or at least page, says it was released July 3rd, 2016.
Oh, okay, then I'm definitely not thinking of the same thing then.
Yeah, okay, so it says after several small and big technical problems forces to postpone release by 2 weeks. So it sounds like it's fairly recent. Man, it looks really, really cool, and it kind of sucks because they're launching this update, this mod that they've obviously put a lot of work into, because it looks fantastic. When this game is going to be getting a huge update, so and free on PC if you own all the DLC. But honestly, like you said, if you can't wait for more, this is certainly. And I was watching this trailer, and I'm like, I don't remember this location from Skyrim. Like, there's some stuff in here that is pretty crazy that I don't remember.
Jim says, first of all, that it's pronounced Enderal. And he says Enderal is a full conversion mod with all new story, voice acting, and such. So that's pretty cool. I haven't tried it. I've been so out of the Skyrim universe. I have it on PC, but I've never played it on PC. So thank you very much for that, Steam. Stealing all of my dollars. Speaking of stealing all my dollars, I may or may not have bought The Sims 3 today through Steam. Because it was on, they're just, it's stupid, ridiculously cheap. It was like $4.99. So I was like, Sims 3 is where it's at, guys, in terms of Sim franchises. That's where they really hit it out of the park. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if it stands up to, you know, my ideas of what a Sim game was. And so I'm going to get back into The Sims, but not Sims 4, because that is a pile of hot garbage. But Sims 3, I think, is going to be pretty good. So I'm going to give it a shot. I'm excited. But yeah, so I need to do that with Skyrim, too. I need to get back in there and try it on PC, especially because there's just so many mods out there for Skyrim. I need to give them a shot, because this looks, I mean, I just look at these screenshots and I'm like, oh, Skyrim, I remember how amazing you were and how obsessed I was. Like, this just looks so good.
So, based on the chat, like they were saying, it's a full conversion with new story, which is interesting. Like, I would probably check this out. This, again, perfect thing to check out while waiting for the update. And I'm once I found out I was going to get the update for free, I was kind of like, this is more interesting to me now, because I did everything in Skyrim, like the whole mainline stuff. Didn't do all, like, the obviously all of the campaign side stories, like the Brotherhood and whatnot, but I did play it a lot. And I know it's kind of interesting. It was kind of the catalyst for the show. Like, the game came out just before this show started, so Skyrim played a big part in the start of the show. Actually, I think it was our website background art for like 3 years.
It is our current overlay. Is actually an inn from Skyrim.
Well, so perfect. We might have to update it from the up-resed version.
Yeah, really.
I didn't even think about that, but I'm all in. And honestly, I haven't had a lot of experience with mods, so I don't know. This is probably easier.
My mod experience comes completely from Original Sims. I modded the crap out of that game, mostly just to get like different wallpapers and different clothes and different hairstyles and stuff like that. So, man, but that's the only game that I ever really kind of went crazy on the mods.
Right.
But I need to get back into it, because Skyrim is just so customizable now with all the things that are available. So next week we should get back into Skyrim and talk a little bit about it, because that's a really good recommendation. So thank you so much for sending that in. I think that's going to do it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show, do we still use Google+?
I don't know. You can delete that.
No, I was good. Like, I haven't logged into Google+ in. I'm like, we say it at the end of every episode, but I'm like, do we even post there? It might do some weird cross-posty thing from YouTube. I don't know, but I feel like, yeah. If anyone's actually using Google+, please hit us up on Twitter and tell us that.
I was going to say, if they write into Google+, that's like asking someone to scream in the vacuum of space. Like, don't do that.
But yeah, so you can definitely find us on Facebook and maybe sometimes kind of Google+.
I think when I post the episode to the website, it auto posts to Google+. So
which is
essentially the same thing we do on Facebook, but we actively monitor Facebook. So
yeah, Facebook, I get notifications when you guys talk to us on Facebook, but I definitely don't. If anyone's over there talking on Google+, I'm so sorry.
Oh no. Yeah, so is Google.
If you'd like to email the show, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thank you for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.